Season 6, Episode 8, The Sentinel, a Gateway, Keeper of the Path Ahead. Alan shares an industrial safety law case involving the disrepair of a gate, which prompts Trage to reflect on his early career prosecution of an industrial gate failure, leading to the news headline, Fallen Gate, Crushes Mum. Sarah shares a work reality of the difficulty of industrial gate use, especially as a visitor unfamiliar with the urban layout. Trage solves the problems of reaching industrial gate activation panels from the window of his sports car. Yeah, right. By using his selfie stick, causing the team to burst in laughter. This episode discusses a fatality. This episode also introduces a spoken word. Spoken word concerns reflections on victim impact statements. And this vignette complements recent research by Trage on the potency of victim impact statements and empathy mapping.
Welcome to the system.
Yeah. One, two, kid. This is B. R4D. And we're gonna bust it up like this. I'm crushing empty bourbon cans with my dirty hands, poisoned by devil's weed, dreaming of foreign lands. Ever since my very spark of life, I've been caught in this astrological plight.
Hello, and welcome to the WoWork podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trage Svetkovsky, and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work.
I've been keeping an eye on the cases that have been going before the courts, and there's one that came out that's worth a chat. It's worth a chat for a couple of reasons, but it's about an industrial estate, and at the industrial estate there was a big gate at the front, 2 meters high, that ran on rollers. Now, the gate itself wasn't badly designed. It travelled between upright poles, which acted as a mechanism for making sure that it didn't fall over. And at the end of it, the rails, there was a stopper to make sure that it didn't run off the rails. And it was electronic, and all the people who had permission to go in and out of that industrial estate had electronic keys so that they could open the gate. Now, I'll just paint the story a bit more. Now, for this industrial estate, we have the owners of the estate. We have a company that managed the estate. We have a tenanted company, and we have an employee of the tenanted company. I'll go through all of those in a minute. What happened was there was an accident overnight where someone completely unassociated with the estate or the businesses in the estate drove into the gate and seriously damaged it and knocked it off its rails. Now, on the Monday morning when the tenants discovered the gate had been damaged, it had been fenced off by police and emergency services, they rang up the agent company and spoke to the representative of the agent company and requested that the gate be fixed. And then that company, of course, spoke to the owners, and the owners were then responsible for getting the gate fixed. Now, there was also some plumbing that got damaged, which also needed to be fixed. Now,
sounds like a hell of a drive through that gate.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what happened as following the incident is that the company that managed the estate arranged for the plumbing to be fixed urgently, but didn't arrange for the gate to be fixed urgently. They did start processing it to get the gate fixed, but they hadn't tasked it as urgent. And then, after a few days, one of the employees of one of the companies that was working in the estate turned up early in the morning, and the gate had been manually pushed closed, and he tried to open the gate by himself. He managed to push the gate back, but he pushed it too far.
Wow.
65-year-old man pushed the gate too far, and it came out of the vertical poles that held it in place, yes, that made sure that it didn't fall over.
And so it's no longer cordoned then? They had barriers, correct, protecting it, so they've removed whatever barriers protected it so that...
Well, it was severely damaged. It was 30 degrees out, so it was really badly damaged. Right, yeah. And this one worker managed to, I gather it must have been still on rollers.
Yes.
Managed to roll it, but rolled it too far so that it was freestanding at that point. He went up, tried to return it back between the poles, but it then fell on him, and he suffered very serious injuries. Now, the interesting thing about this case is everyone got charged. So the worker's employer, so the tenant company, got charged, the agency company got charged, and the owner got charged. So it's unlike we would see in years gone by. Everyone got charged in this case. And the case that just came out 10 days ago is about the owners of the premises. Now, keeping in mind they had started to take measures to fix the gate, they just hadn't done it urgently, and they got fined in Australian dollars, in New South Wales, $300,000. And then they were, in addition to that, they were asked to pay the prosecutor's costs of $40,000.
Wow.
So $340,000. They did get a discount because of a plea of guilty, but still there's significant penalties.
Sorry, this was the owners, the building
owners. The building owners.
Right.
Yeah.
Who
but everyone got charged and everyone got fined. And unfortunately, I didn't dig up the fines for the other companies, but that's what the owners got fined. Now, I find this case really interesting because we see this a lot where there's a change in circumstances, there's a change in the way a business operates, and when there's a change, it's really important to stop and risk assess and think about how you're going to manage the change, how you're going to manage it safely, which is a failure that occurred in this case. The other thing too is the owners, we've got this big corporate structure. The owners are somewhat removed, and they that engaged professional agency, corporate agency, to manage the site, and yet they still got stung. They got stung with a very large fine.
And what I would imagine that they're not aware of whether or not they've continued to cordon or remove any barriers around that gate, and they would assume, they might have assumed, that operationally people were saying, don't use this till it's fixed, right?
Well, it's not stated in the judgment, but I just based on experience, I think the judges would expect that the owners of premises should at least come out and have a look.
Yeah,
and see what's in progress.
This is an example of a great system design analysis. Like, it's a great case to pull apart and look at, okay, what was involved with the governance and policies and any regulatory requirements, what's involved in the ownership, right? Mm. You know, that there are all these multiple contributing factors that coalesce and give rise to a scenario, and everybody has some sort of, you know, causational chain of responsibility is a term that Trege often uses.
I think of this one, to me, it sounds like it was just an accident waiting to happen.
It's yes, but it's like multiple factors and multiple reasons why it all comes together in one point. And I'm talking more of like things percolating, like I always use that analogy of popcorn when the kernel gets hot, but there's so many factors that relate to that. It's not linear, it's not just Swiss cheese model, as they talk about. It's that there are many things bubbling and surfacing.
Yeah, well, it's actually quite common for industrial gates to be damaged for lots of different reasons.
So just to be clear, there's no issue about the design per se. This is just a maintenance.
That was a good design.
It's a good design.
So there's design. The technical, the maintenance, the all the repair people. Okay. There's like so many people who would be involved. Equipment, systems of protection, et cetera, that you could pull this apart and look at all the system factors and really interesting case study.
Well, maybe,
good for your students, Trege.
Mm. Maybe they should have, if they'd done a risk assessment, maybe the decision would have been, and And, of course, I'm not doing a risk assessment, but if they had done a risk assessment, maybe the decision would be, we've just got to leave the gate open. You know, we're not going to touch it.
That's back to your point, Sarah, just whole of systems approach. It sounds to me, again, like, yeah, it's just waiting, it's an accident, all the popcorn, it's getting hot, and then something happens. And it's not a linear process. I'm thinking, when you mentioned the linear, the Swiss cheese model, which is what our students have to acknowledge, when you look at your cow example in the previous episode, how are you going to be linear about a beast that could get spooked? You know,
we talked about Elmo, the gorilla, you know, at the zoo.
Yeah, that's work. And you know, people are like, oh, now you're cherry picking. Are we? I don't think we are. The thing is, you know what? And I bet you some listeners.
We're not making this up. These are all real cases. Real cases. All recorded in the courts.
A web, a network. It's a network. I think of a web, or I think of lily pads and frogs jumping across little lily pads.
And it culminates in the court process. And I bet just there would be some listeners right now thinking, you know, yeah, gate. It's a freak accident. It's tragic. No, as you were speaking, two things were happening. I cast my mind back to the very first case I ever did, involving a gate fatality and multiple defendants, so concurrent obligation holders. I had to Google to find it. You just have to Google Nambour gate fatality for our listeners and you'll find it. But I'd forgotten about it and then I'd remembered. But before I got to it, I found all these other cases in the Northern Territory, the one you talked about.
Yeah, it's very common.
And as I found it, the one that I'm referring to in my case was Falling Gate Crushes Mum, the Courier-Mail, Sunshine Coast Daily. But the opening, so this was the 11th of December 2005.
Welcome to the system.
A Nambour man has told of the horror of discovering his fiancée had been crushed to death in a freak. So that's the word I'm taking. Freak accident. I don't think gates falling are freak accidents. You've just told me about a case, and I found a few others before I got to that case.
I think it's so common that, you'd be familiar, of course, with lockout devices. Well, I would have thought you chain the gate open. You make sure that no one can close it.
If you stop and think about just gates, I mean, there are so many gates, and I don't think they are freak accidents. I think they should be given the same consideration as working at height.
It's an intersection, isn't it? Yeah. So, and you've got moving parts. I just think of, in the rail industry, of rail crossings and how the effort is to try and remove crossings. And Melbourne is doing a lot of work on this throughout Victoria, is to remove crossings, because anything with an intersection where things can connect or go boom, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you think about a gate, how many times it opens and closes, hundreds, thousands. It's almost like it is the epicenter. It is like a key which will open a door or not. So in my universe, this is how I work. Maybe others may not work this way. I would think this thing is pivotal to everything we do. I'd make sure the whole thing's working.
And can I just say...
That's how I would work.
From the realities of going in and out of industrial centres and government centres all the time, when you are a visitor approaching a centre where the staff are really used to using that gate, an automated gate system, but visitors are not. So you've got to prepare for the, I don't know what to do. Is this the right entry? There's all this confusion as you approach new gate areas.
That's a good point. Yes.
And when you're trying to get there, I'll give you an example. Many times if you're in a lower car like mine, you can't actually reach because they're designed for big trucks or buses or, you know, four-wheel drives. So you go back and forth. You have to get just positioned, or you have to pause, get out of the car. You have to stand up to scan and swipe, or to push the button to activate a reception button. And the reception folks often get too tired of dealing with any communication. So many times, this has happened to me many times, you drive up, they see you, and they just push you open, but you still don't actually know where you're supposed to go. And it's
reaching when you have to reach out.
And it's, sorry, no, when you have to go through the gate, drive through the gate.
You said before, when you have to swipe, sometimes you can't.
Yeah, you can't reach. Yeah, well, you can't reach the swipe panel, but the reception might sense through their camera, their video surveillance, that there's a vehicle there. And instead of speaking through the intercom, like the person is expecting to drive through and ask a question about where they should go, they get desensitized to all this traffic coming through. So they don't do that function, and they just automatically open the gate for you. As you're driving through, you're still trying to figure out, where do you go? What's the parking area? People in that system are familiar and just cruising on through. And it takes the driver who's new, the visitor, a little time to figure this out. That those moments of confusion are vulnerabilities, and that's what we're talking about, is all these moments of vulnerabilities that haven't got, in human fractures you might say, tight couplings. They're not tight couplings in the system. They're opportunities of vulnerabilities.
Yes. I don't have that problem with the reaching for the swipe because I use my selfie stick.
You have a selfie stick with you wherever you go, Trish?
Yeah, of course. And that way, no, when I need to open up Boomgate, so I just reach out my selfie stick and I just swipe it. So
I don't take that many photos of myself. I do not have a selfie stick.
I'm just saying, Sarah, see, you can engineer. You can design the problem by extending
your being prepared stick with selfie sticks.
And that's what I do. Just saying. So there you go. Problem solved. And free. That's free for all our listeners.
Gates and industrial car parks and industrial settings, there's a lot of vulnerabilities for vehicle interactions. And I would say this is a mammoth thing that requires unpacking at a systems level.
Yes.
Absolutely. So tell us about the case at NAMBOR. You want to give us a brief synopsis?
Look, other than, no, well, it's like 20 years.
Yesterday.
And, it was just a confronting case. I just started in the office and here it was a fatality. But a very complex matter involving potentially a multiple duty holders, or we called them obligation holders at the time, defendants. It ended up two of the defendants went to trial and lost. One pleaded guilty. But it was such a serious story because of the I think the phrase I may have used at the time was the problematic state of the gate. So similar to Alan's story, things were happening. So things were being cordoned off. Emails were flying around saying, this thing's not opening, this thing's not closing. Now, none of it was suggestive of a catastrophe, but people were saying, look, this gate's not working. It operated with a magic eye. So you'd press the button and the sensor would open both of the gates, you know, out and in. But unfortunately, over time, one of the states of the gates was derelict and it fell.
So I'm imagining that the complaints were rising because they were just a pain in the butt because things weren't working the way people expected.
From memory, it was not just a pain in the butt. I think some of the evidence did suggest,
hadn't the gate been knocked by a vehicle?
Over time, because these gates open and close for all the trucks, deliveries and rubbish. Mm. So yeah,
lots that's of repetition part of it. And this, use.
This
yeah.
thing was a steel mesh fabricated 900-kilo gate. So the two gates were
which
close
is a to lot two. Of weight. That's a lot far, of weight. A lot far of too much,
tall.
Yeah.
You know, six because you have to act as security barriers as well. Mm. So yes, over time, of course, they're going to get binged and banged. But it was more that the gate would sometimes go off its rail. Hence, it could have been knocked all the time. It just wouldn't work. So,
isn't that a funny, just that statement, off your rails, that's kind of a statement of you're just going crazy, right? You're off your rails. So if a gate's going off the rails, it's a really good time to do some massive intervention, right?
Yeah, you think. And so it was sad because obviously of the catastrophe. And as I said, you can Google, our listeners can Google it. It was sad because of the facts. But from a work design perspective, it was sad that these complaints maybe would have been deemed potentially as like a pain in the butt or not again. So what would happen is this, like in any other organisation, someone would complain, there'd be a fix, so it'd come back. But it was just this reactive rather than proactive or anticipatory. It wasn't like it was derelict and ignored, but the gate was problematic.
And I wonder if it was ever on a preventative maintenance schedule in their facilities and plant, right?
It was part of the, you know, part of the
facilities and plant management.
But it's just, and I guess if you look at it from a whole of organisation perspective, you've got hundreds of things going on and what now, what this. So I do feel for a lot of the health and safety personnel who have to be on top of everything.
It's a lot.
Unfortunately, on this occasion, it was just being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And
what happened? Tell us what happened.
So this person commenced her work duties. She always did.
She was a cleaner.
Cleaner who worked at that shopping centre. This was not a first day on the job, so it's not getting back to your Boomgate story where you feel disoriented. No, this was you start the shift, you press the buttons to open the door, the gates to allow the trucks and the rubbish trucks. So let's call it an unremarkable day.
Yep.
It's what you do. It's checklist job. And this person really, from memory, enjoyed her job, was very good at her job, just got on with her work. And this was all on CCTV footage, by the way, too. It was pretty compelling. So the button is pressed, and one of the gates does as it ought to do, move out. The other one decided not to retract, but rather move forward. And because the gate was inadequately secured, fell from its railing, and unfortunately it fell on the worker, and she sustained fatal injuries. And they're the facts of the case. So it resulted in multiple prosecutions, but it was a very big, big matter at the time. But it's funny because people saying, oh, this is random, or I remember conversations with the inspectorate, and, oh, what an unusual set of circumstances, extraordinary. But now that I look, and maybe at the time they weren't as reported, but my quick search of the media showed a number of gates, opening gates, boom gates falling.
Heavy moving plant. Yeah. And facilities. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like there's a window of opportunity. We have a number of health and safety advisors that listen into our show. Mm. And it sounds like there's a good window of opportunity to be someone who's a systems analyst of gate functioning and work health and safety. Yep. Right now, that could be one of your things, to go do audits and help companies devise their plans around this, right?
I think the other good thing about this case, too, is there's landlords often ask the question about what's their exposure.
Yes, huge.
And this case demonstrates that landlords do have an exposure.
But you say window of opportunity.
Gate?
I say a gateway.
A gateway.
Just saying.
Hold on, isn't that one of the other universities, a gateway?
A gateway to experience? No.
A gateway to heaven. There's so many gateway songs
that's
as
a
well.
Stairwell. Come on, get your
pop. Yeah, I got to get that one right.
You're flying, Anyway, that's a sad but sobering reminder of the seriousness of just people, ordinary people, on their way to work.
Yeah.
Living, and I say this in the most respectful way, unremarkable lives, unremarkable for work. You just want
wanting it to remain unremarkable.
Now you've
just mentioned the stairway to heaven and the pearly gates.
Yeah,
there you go.
You want to punch in, do your job, and just come home. And now I know I sound like an OIR ad, but isn't that the message? It's the message, you should come home. You expect to come home. No more, no less. Just come home. Boom.
All she wanted was to get on with work. The week off was fun-packed. Didn't do much, just sat around at home, mucked around with her husband and 12-month-old. She liked a job as a cleaner at the nearby shopping centre. She was now refreshed and looking forward to getting back to work while hubby was a stay-at-home dad. Her duties were the same, the usual routine. It was always the same. Early start, early finish, back to bub. And that's what she liked about her job. Flexible, good rates, and good people. Indeed, her employer gave her reasonable conditions. Her supervisor was friendly, good with rosters, and who'd generally follow up concerns and issues. There was one thing, however, which despite being raised was not quite resolved. That damn security gate. It gave her grief. Fiddly, sticky, hard to close at times, problematic. It would be repaired, but then problems would come back. On return to work, one day, like any other day, she opened the car park, the gate started moving. The worker, a cleaner, a wife, a mother, a human being, walked in the direction of the gate. Everything was normal. The gate moved. But today, this metal beast travelled past the stop point and fell onto the concrete driveway, knocking her to the ground. An investigation commenced. Defendants were prosecuted. Trials were had. Findings were made and sentences were imposed, and life went on. I recall the husband attending every hearing date, mentions, directions, applications, sentences, trials. He would show up with his shopping bag. In it contained the ever-growing impact statement. It was time to read his suffering to the court. He had rehearsed for his day in court. It was time to let it all out. He was ready, hands trembling as he unfolded the handwritten statement. The court was silent, microphone at the ready, to record and amplify his sadness. But he didn't read it out. All that time, crafting a heart-wrenching victim impact statement. Instead, he burst into tears and told the court just how much the family missed her and wished she could come back. This was his statement, remembering and forgetting. More about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.